Gilman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. The chairman of the board, Mr. David Reed, is here today. Hello, David Reed.
It's good to see you. And I actually mean see you.
Well, I saw your backpack today, your lunchbox, a Tennessee Volunteers backpack / lunchbox.
Yes, not Tennessee baseball.
And
just
yet,
a Tennessee lunchbox.
And yet David Reed is rooting against Tennessee baseball this weekend.
I'm just rooting for good
are
people.
You
I like
watch,
rooting for good people.
Are you going to watch the games
this weekend? No, I doubt it. Seriously, I doubt it.
You don't think
if do,
you,
sat,
if
what,
you sat your ass on the couch and you turned on the TV, you would not put on UT baseball.
I might, and here's why I might do that, just because I'm fascinated. I can't remember their names. The brothers from Hawaii that play for Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in, I haven't seen them play all year live, so I'm interested in watching them a little bit. But just to turn it on to cheer for the antics of the Vol baseball team and their coach, no. I will not do that.
I just looked up at the TV. John Robinson is on Good Morning Football now.
I know he's on last week, Sam. Yeah.
Okay. How about that?
Good for him.
Okay. So I want to start with this, and I want to start with a player that John Robinson drafted. And we've talked a lot over the last week or so about Jeffrey Simmons and how Jeffrey Simmons has chosen that for whatever reason, he does not need to be here when it comes to the voluntary OTAs. Now, the Titans have their final OTA today. They will have mandatory minicamp next week, so I expect that we will see Jeffrey Simmons and that Jeffrey Simmons will be there. But there, we've talked a lot about Simmons and how he thinks he's a leader and he's really not. And we've talked a lot about what it says when Brian Callahan says this is an important part of the offseason. This is just foundational with what they're going to do. This is just about team building and leadership development, and we got to have it. And Jeffrey Simmons says, I don't think I need that, coach, and what that means. But I guess I haven't really gotten to the why of this. And I do want the answer. You know, oftentimes I feel sometimes misrepresented or pegged as somebody who thinks they have all the answers and never asks the questions and can't admit when they don't know. And I'm just going to say right now, I don't know why Jeffrey Simmons is not there. But the one thing that is obvious to me is that for whatever reason, Jeffrey Simmons has decided in 2025 that he's not going to put the team first. He's going to put Jeffrey first. And I really want to know why. I really want to know what Jeffrey Simmons is thinking here. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, when I say, I wonder what you're thinking, what were you thinking? You know how Dr. Phil talks down to people? That's not what I mean here. I mean, I'm really wondering, what is the thought process for Jeffrey Simmons, a highly paid player who claims to be a leader, who talks about the culture of the team and how he believes in the coaches and everything else? What is the thought process behind not being at OTAs when literally every other player on the roster is? What is the thought process behind training on your own and not participating in this offseason program that, again, Brian Callahan is probably staking his job on, saying the changes they've made in the offseason, the accountability, the teamwork, the development, I thought long and hard about this last year, and this is going to be what keeps us from making those mistakes in September and October. He thinks, and I don't agree with him, but he thinks this is going to be what saves his job. So what is Jeffrey Simmons thinking? And I ask this as a completely open-ended question, because once again, I don't know what his explanation will be. Surely he will be at the mandatory minicamp next week. Surely that he will meet with the media, even though Simmons, deep down inside, I think kind of hates the media, especially me. But I do feel like he will meet with the media, and I do feel like somebody will ask him, and it might be me, will ask him, so why weren't you here? Why was training on your own better for you and better for the team than you being here. He said in the past that he believes in Brian Callahan and that he believes in Denard Wilson and he believes in the culture they're trying to bring. He said he had never been through a coaching change before, so it was kind of a shock to the system when Mike Vrabel, who, again, he says, you know everything Vrabel's about, Vrabel's out, Callahan's in, and he said that was quite a shock, but he believes in Callahan and he believes in Denard and he believes in what they're preaching. Then he doesn't show up. And then the typical reasons that somebody doesn't show up for the voluntary portion of the offseason, I just don't think would apply to Simmons. I mean, he surely can't be unhappy with his contract. Because if anything, Jeffrey Simmons is overpaid, not underpaid. He posts on Instagram his light blue truck with red trim, you know, with the JS logos on it, with a boat that is the exact same color and the exact same trim. So I don't think he's looking to be traded. Again, he has the contract. He has the truck. He has the boat. Why would he not be showing up to OTAs if he was happy with his contract and happy with his team? And then during the offseason, he was out and about throughout Nashville the entire time. I saw him at an event. Chase saw him at an event. I mean, before the offseason program got started, you couldn't be out and about in Nashville and not run into Jeffrey Simmons. So again, I guess what I'm saying here is I'm looking for an explanation as to why Jeffrey Simmons, the self-appointed team spokesperson a season ago, has decided to go MIA from everything Titan related, except for apparently on his own Instagram. I don't know the answer as to why he's not here. I don't know the answer as to why he thinks he's better off training wherever he's training. I don't know the answer as to how it's better for the team if he really is this great leader and this great captain and someone they can depend on and someone who the media gets it all wrong about how good he actually is. I don't understand how it helps the team for him not to be here. But the one thing that I do know is that he's supposed to be here. And he's not. And when you're not in the one place that you are supposed to be, it leads to questions. And these are the questions that I have. Again, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Why has Jeffrey Simmons decided to put his team second and himself first during this offseason? Why? And I don't need to hear the, oh, well, I know Jeffrey Simmons will be ready. Or the, who cares, Jared? It's voluntary. You all know what the NFL expectation is. The NFL expectation is, unless you're upset about your contract, unless you're upset about your situation, unless there's a real tangible reason for you not to be at the voluntary workouts, you need to be at the voluntary workouts. You don't have to be at every voluntary workout, but you have to be at the voluntary workouts. There's not that many during the course of the year, especially in phase three when guys are wearing helmets, schemes are being implemented, and they're actually practicing football. There's like six total practices. You're supposed to be there. Again, if you're Kirk Cousins and you're unhappy in Atlanta because you signed to be the starting quarterback and now you're not the starting quarterback, it makes sense for you to not be there. But Jeffrey Simmons is not Kirk Cousins. So when I hear things like, oh, who cares? It's voluntary. I ask you, well, Amani Hooker is here. Calvin Ridley is here. Tony Pollard is here. Hell, even Legarius Sneed is present for the voluntary OTAs. But not Simmons? What makes him so special? And again, I just want to know the why. No, I'm not saying I'm going to agree with whatever his explanation is, because I don't think there is an explanation that would make me agree with it unless it was something personally related, and it doesn't sound like that's the case. But I just want to know, what is he actually thinking? Starting the year off with this massive distraction of, is Simmons unhappy with the team? Is the team unhappy with Simmons? Is Simmons really a leader? Is Simmons not a leader? Because that's where he has decided to start this year off on. Again, Simmons last year became the team spokesperson by default. It couldn't be the young quarterback who was turning the football over left and right, and Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry were gone. And what did Simmons do? He continuously put his foot in his mouth. Now, he's decided he's going to be a part of the solution, changing the culture. And as they try to quote-unquote change the culture, he's not even there. Somebody explain this to me. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And I know you may not care, because it's voluntary, Jared. But I am going to tell you right now, there is one person that this absolutely, positively, this Jeffrey Simmons, I don't need to be at OTAs, that this would not fly with. And we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
The last principle, put the team first, was really the umbrella principle to the on-the-way-in mindset. We probably said it out loud more than any other, and we enforced it accordingly. There was no way to get around it. If you walked into a meeting late, there was going to be a problem, unless you had a good reason, and it was expressed to me in advance. I set the tone on this early on. In my very first meeting with the Patriots team during our spring workout phase in 2000, one of our starters walked in 5 minutes after the meeting started and sat down in the front row. I couldn't believe it. I felt like he was daring me to do something. Normally, if a player was late, he would come into the meeting through the back entrance as inconspicuously as possible. I stared at him when he sat down. He returned my glare with a, "Is something wrong?" look. I threw him out of the meeting on the spot, along with some profanity-laced remarks.
That was Bill Belichick in his new book, The Art of Winning. I know, did that put any of you guys to sleep? Every time we play one of those Belichick cuts. But the reason I picked that Belichick cut right there was because I was a couple weeks ago listening to the Belichick book, and I think I've been on record saying nothing is better for more natural melatonin than the Bill Belichick audiobook. But I have been listening to the Belichick audiobook, and when I heard Belichick talking about, you know, the most important core principle we have is putting the team first, all I could think about were the amount of times that Mike Vrabel would get up there at the podium when he was the head coach of the Titans, and he would talk about team first, putting the team first. You know, well, we want guys to come in here and put the team first. Vrabel must have said put the team first 18,000 times as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And so with Jeffrey Simmons not being at OTAs, especially after the emphasis that Brian Callahan has put on the offseason and teamwork and development and leadership development, and with all of that accountability, with all of that and Simmons not showing up, I'm like, this feels like a giant middle finger from Simmons to Brian Callahan. And while, again, Brian Callahan had Simmons back last week saying, well, I know he'll be in good shape. Yesterday, he got up there and had an opening statement, Callahan did, where he said, everybody who's been here is here today except for Curtis Joseph, whoever the hell that is, who is sick. That's it. And I thought, hey, that was Callahan kind of venting a little frustration with Simmons. Let me say this. Jeffrey Simmons not being at OTAs because he doesn't think he needs to be at OTAs, that would not fly with Mike Vrabel as the head coach. Jeffrey Simmons would have been there yesterday if Mike Vrabel was the head coach. And before you tell me it's voluntary, Jared, which is something Vrabel would say, because the head coach, the way the rules are written, the collective bargaining agreement, the head coach cannot go to the podium and criticize somebody for not being at a voluntary camp. That is just how it is. But at the same time, Vrabel cared that you showed up to the voluntary program. Do you guys remember Kevin Dodd, the Titans' second-round pick in 2016? A guy they drafted before Derrick Henry. Kevin Dodd was the top pick, I believe, of the second round. He was a pass rusher out of Clemson. He was a bust. This is from a couple years ago. This was Delaney Walker on Darren Bates' podcast, the Raw Room podcast. And again, I have to preface this, Reed, with I did my best to edit it, but let's just keep our finger on the button because the Raw Room really is raw. But listen to this story that Delaney Walker tells about Mike Vrabel when he first took over as coach of the Titans. And you tell me if Jeffrey Simmons just not showing up would have sat well with him.
Kevin Dodd.
That's Kevin Dodd.
He didn't come to OTAs like he was, like he him.
That's right.
He had got hurt or some shit, but yeah. It wasn't enough for him to be like not coming to OTAs.
Yeah.
He was trying to play brother next year.
He was straight. He was good. He played.
This nigga didn't show up. Vrabel, first year. He get there, they might say, hey, he try to come sit down in front. He's like, this for players only.
Players only. So he stood up. He just stood up on the wall. He said, oh, no, get your ass out. Like that.
He didn't mean that seat. He meant this whole meeting.
The whole meeting. Out the door.
Get out.
Hey, sweet.
You think I'm playing?
When they say that shit, like, voluntary, that shit is not voluntary.
It's not voluntary.
I said, but like, Rabbit. Okay. So, like, Delaney Walker and them were saying, it's not voluntary. Vrabel told Kevin Dodd, who didn't show up for OTAs, get your ass out of here. So, when Jeffrey Simmons doesn't show up for Brian Callahan's OTAs, I'm just going to tell you, this would not have sat well with Mike Vrabel. And because of that, Simmons wouldn't have done it. Now, you may point to the fact that Kevin Byard, for instance, missed the voluntary program in 2023. But we all know why Kevin Byard, including Vrabel, we all know why Kevin Byard missed the voluntary program, because he was in the middle of a contract dispute. And I can promise you that Vrabel didn't love it, but he understood where Byard was coming from. I have to ask, what does Jeffrey Simmons have to be unhappy about? He's treated better than he plays around here. He's got a head coach who never holds him accountable and a fan base that makes excuses for him. I'm sorry, I don't think it can get better than that. And again, so I listened to Belichick's book and he talked about, you know, the hallmark of our program was put the team first. And then I listened to myself and I'm like, man, I've heard Vrabel say put the team first 18 billion times. And it made me think about Simmons from two standpoints. Number one, Simmons not being here when Callahan is putting together these teams and prioritizing leadership development is clearly a screw the coach, I'm on my own schedule philosophy, which again is not putting the team first. Hey, screw the coach. Screw what he's trying to do. I don't care about that. I got my own thing to worry about. Again, that is not a team first opinion. Secondly, Jeffrey Simmons reads and hears everything. As I have documented, Simmons has me blocked on Twitter, so he should not be able to see the things that I tweet. And yet when I called him soft last year, he did another interview talking about how I called him soft and was like, I highly doubt he'd say that to my face. So he clearly sees and reads everything. So because of that, I think Simmons knows there's a lot of complaints about how he does not get to the quarterback and he does not sack the quarterback. Now, he actually had a really good PFF grade, both overall and his pass rushing grade last year. And he had a similar amount of hurries and quarterback hits as he's had in the past. And I wonder if Simmons has decided, you know what, this year I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to get my own sacks. Again, doing my own thing. Because when I do my own thing and I get 11 sacks this year, I mean, we still might suck as a team, and I might not be doing what the coach is telling me to do, but nobody over there is going to hold me accountable anyways. And then this way, I don't have to answer questions about why doesn't Jeffrey Simmons ever sack the quarterback. Like, put the team first. Belichick says, hey, we put the team first. Vrabel, put the team first. Jeffrey Simmons, I'll go work out on my own. And, you know, Floyd told me, he said, when he got to the Patriots, he was their lead contract negotiator. And he said every time they had an incentive for a player in a contract, Belichick said, I want it to be a team incentive. So instead of if you get 10 sacks, I want if we win the division. That way, when I ask you to do something that may not help you get a sack, but I'm asking you to do something that may help the team, you'll do it because, again, your incentives are based upon how we as a team do. And I just don't think Jeffrey Simmons is worried about putting the team first anymore. And I think it's because he knows the team sucks. I think he's decided, hey, this team sucks. No matter what I do, this team's going to suck. And everyone's going to complain. So what I'm just going to do is I'm just going to try to go out there and get 12 sacks myself. And I'm going to do it my way, and I don't give a rat's ass what this coach thinks, and I don't care what kind of scheme. Screw it. I don't need to learn the scheme. I'm going to go out there, and I'm just going to go try to go sack the quarterback. Which, again, if the head coach's message, which I think is still a little silly the way that he presented it, but if the head coach's message is, I thought long and hard about what happened last year, and this year culture matters the most, this is not going to end very well. So, again, I keep wondering the why. Why is Simmons not here? Somebody explain that to me. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. 615-737-1025 will hit your phones. Plus, the one thing that, again, I would do if I was Brian Callahan, I know he's not going to do it. He should do it. We'll hit that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
So what is your opinion, Jeff? What do you got?
I start off with the NFL side of it, especially playing my position. You know, in my opinion, I wish people were, you know, especially on the outside world, you know, they say, oh, he had a down year, this and that. But, you know, they don't take in consideration that, you know, especially like this week, you know, they got the NFL coaches meeting and they all down there, the media down there. Now, why not just go ask some of these coaches, head coaches, what is your game plan against number 98 for the Titans? You know, it's never single blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of looking at the game stat sheet, look at the game itself and how many hands is on number 98 every game.
The tape. Watch the tape, right? That's what you're saying. Watch the tape.
You know, at this point, you hate to say it to the media because some people want to consider you as a butthole, but, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes I do get a little frustrating and, you know, just to hear, you know, you not having a good year, what you think the problem is, I'm like, because I'm getting double teamed 95% of the game. So, you know, that's one of my opinion.
Yeah, I'm just getting double teamed all the time. Not that good players always get double teamed and that the really good players are the ones that beat double teams. But, you know, if I push back on the media, I guess they label me as some butthole. By the way, again, do you want to know how you get labeled a butthole? Don't show up to OTAs and have no excuse for why you're not doing it a week after the head coach goes all in saying, this year's going to be different because we're going to have a great culture and we're going to be closer and we're going to be more competitive and we're going to work harder and we're going to be together and we're going to... And then not show up? Give me a break. You know, one thing I do wonder about is I was looking at John Robinson on NFL Network because John Robinson did draft Jeffrey Simmons. You know, John Robinson still drafted a handful of guys that are on this team. Amani Hooker, for instance, is a guy he drafted. Chika Conquo is a guy that he drafted. I wonder how the guys that are here and are what I would consider to be made men in the NFL and have been here for a while. So not a new guy like Dan Moore or Zeitler or a young guy like Cam Ward or Tavondre Sweat, but I mean like, you know, a made guy. How does Amani Hooker feel? when he's at OTAs and he's in the meetings and he's doing his part to lead the team? How does Calvin Ridley feel? How does Tony Pollard feel? How do the guys that, again, they've got their contracts? Calvin Ridley does not have to show up for OTAs, and they're not going to take a snap away from Calvin Ridley. And Calvin Ridley's not a saint either. He complained last year about getting the ball, and Brian Callahan went out of his way to go placate him to give him the ball more when you know Mike Vrabel would have never put up with that. But again, how do these guys feel? How does Amani Hooker feel? A guy that, you know, has never been a problem. And was drafted the exact same year as Jeffrey Simmons. And he's on this crap team, but he's still doing what's asked of him. And I do wonder that. You know, again, how does Simmons bullcrap, how does that rub everybody? Are they all like, yeah, Jeff, you tell him you're double teamed every play. You're no butthole. Or is it the other way, which is they look at it like, oh, God, Jeff, seriously?
Would you take these stat numbers from Jeffrey Simmons for a season? 9, 11, 8, 11, 20 and a half, 12 and a half, 13 and a half, 12 and a half, 5, and 8.
12 and a half sacks?
Yes. Any stretch of those seasons. Let's say, would you, a 20 and a half sack season.
Yeah, I'd take
a 12 and a half sack season, a 13 and a half sack season. Those are the stats for the most double team defensive player in
Aaron
NFL
Donald.
History. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuse.
There's just, again... You think Warren Sapp didn't get double teamed? Like, you think Warren Sapp didn't get it? You think J.J. Watt didn't get double teamed?
If that Reggie White had just been double teamed.
I mean, then again, Vrabel singled up Myles Garrett with Andre Dillard. So maybe the coaching in this league is that stupid. Who knows? But again, like, I wonder how everybody else feels about Simmons and how, oh, yeah, well, Simmons has done this. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle says, after a 3-win season, everyone in all caps should be at OTAs. If he's a leader who believes in winning and rebuilding this team, then he should be the first one in and the last one out. I'm almost ready for the Big Jeff era to be over, and I have his jersey. Craig says, with Simmons, it's a classic case of me is greater than we. You know, again, I played that cut right there where he was talking about the biggest issue that he has with the media, and it wasn't about the media not understanding what's going on with the team. It's not the media, you know, oh, one thing I really don't like is the media. Guys like Jared Stillman try to read between the lines of what's going on with the team when he's not in the building every day and he has no clue. Guys that have no clue what's going on in the building, they think they know what's going on between us and the coaches and they have no idea. That would be a team issue. That's not his issue. His issue is people get mad at me. Well, I'm being double-teamed, so I can't do anything because I'm being double-teamed. You go talk to the other coaches, and you go ask the other coaches what they do to stop me. Me, 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 me. Again, if you're going to be a leader, it can't be me all the time. Terrell Owens never claimed to be a leader. Antonio Brown never acted as the team spokesperson. So they can be that way because, again, they're not trying to pass themselves off as something that they're not. But Antonio Brown wouldn't be on a Mike Vrabel team. You know, the teams that we think win. Terrell Owens never won. And it has nothing to do with Terrell Owens' talent because Terrell Owens was a great player. And not only that, Simmons isn't as good as Antonio Brown or Terrell Owens because guess what? They got double teamed. One texter says, I think Jeffrey Simmons is tired of buying in to a new direction every 8 months. Jeff was drafted in 2019, so between Vrabel, John Robinson, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and now Rand Carthon, they're all gone. All of his guys are gone, and the team is rebuilding, and I bet he would appreciate being traded. So I did say this, which is I can't understand how Jeffrey Simmons would not want to be here. Like, would not be at OTAs because he should be happy with his contract because he's overpaid, not underpaid. And again, the team, they kiss his ass every 20 minutes, so I don't see why he'd be unhappy with the team. The one thing where guys do skip out on the offseason is when they're demanding a trade or when they want a trade. And with Simmons, you never know with this guy. What's actually going on. And I think it's because Simmons is not very self-aware. I mean, I read a story in The Athletic before Simmons signed his contract about how Simmons was thinking about holding out when he didn't get a contract right away. And it's like, dude, you can't hold out when you're under contract unless you want to pay all that money back. And I don't think Simmons is going to want to do that. Maybe Simmons does want to get traded. I don't know that. There's nothing that would indicate that he wants to get traded. Again, unless he wants to change the color of his truck or change the color of his boat or his self-made logo that he has no problem wearing. I don't think he wants to get traded, but let me say this. If you want to get traded, now's not the time to be trying to get traded. The time to be traded was in March, in February. Now, you want to get traded, you come out the week after the Super Bowl or the week of the Super Bowl, and you say, I want to be traded. And Simmons hasn't done any of that. Simmons was doing interviews talking about who they should draft. He said they should draft Abdul Carter. Because again, even though he can't show up for OTAs, he can't do his own job, he thinks apparently he can be the general manager too. So I don't think he wants to get traded. And I'm going to tell you this, if you're Simmons and you get traded, one of two things is going to happen. Either, number one, you're going to go to a market that's not as nice as Nashville. And I know that I can be an a-hole sometimes, but I'm the exception, probably not the rule. And you go somewhere else, and you start talking the way Simmons. You say something like, nobody runs the ball on the New York Giants. And then you get run on by Josh Jacobs and Malik Willis. And I have to tell you right now, you think I'm bad. It's going to be a lot worse in New York. Ask anybody who's ever played in New York. Robert says it's easy. He wants to go to New England. Dude, you think I'm bad? Go to New England. Go listen to those shows. We played the cuts of them making fun of Belichick and Jordan Hudson. And then the other thing is, Simmons can go to one of these places that has a good team, and he's going to be the seventh, eighth guy on the team. And I don't know if he's going to like that, where he's got his own Jeffrey Simmons logo, and everyone else is like, dude, you're the ninth best player on this team. Give me a break. So I don't know if the grass is necessarily greener. I would be surprised if he wanted a trade. And, you know, again, to the New England thing, they already paid Milton Williams a gazillion dollars from the Eagles. So if they were going to go that route, you should have gone there in February and said, hey, I want to trade, and then try to get something done before they gave all that money to Milton Williams. Now, the problem is I think the Titans probably want a first-round pick in return, and I'm not sure that anybody's going to offer a first-round pick for Jeffrey Simmons. But somebody give me an explanation as to why he's not here. Chris Sanders will join us next. I'm going to ask Chris that. And I'm going to say, Chris, you've done this. You went to OTAs. Jeffrey Simmons thinks he's too good for it. Explain to me how that could possibly be. 615-737-1025. Tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. Pre-game 620, first pitch 635. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and by Family Leisure. PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th in Municipal Auditorium, and you, sir, can be there. Texting the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 now to be entered to wear a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit PFLMMA.com/schedule for more details. Jeffrey Simmons not at OTAs yesterday. Brian Callahan said everyone that was there last week, which according to Paul Kaharsky was everyone except for Simmons, was going to be there yesterday with the exception of Curtis Joseph, who was out because he was sick. Simmons still wasn't there. Though Simmons did post a video of him working out in a gym on Instagram. And so, hey, he's working out. Great. Chris Sanders joins us now on the program, former Titans receiver. Chris Sanders, how concerned are you with the fact that 2 weeks in a row, Jeffrey Simmons has been a no-show for OTAs?
You know, I'm very, very concerned, because the thing about it is when you call yourself a leader, or they say you're a leader, then you got to be the first person in the building. You got to be the first person on the field. You got to be the first person just there. And with him not being there, I just think that you need to designate and put somebody else to leader, because he's not leading by example. But listen, I understand it's a business. – and you don't want to get hurt. But at the end of the day, just show up so the rookies can hear your voice. Show up so the guys can even just listen to what you're saying. So I just think it's very disappointing. I'm not questioning the man that he's not working hard and doing what he's supposed to do to get on the field, but you need to be here with your presence to show the young rookies how to get it done. He's just not there.
Chris, do you have any inclination, any gut feeling as to why Jeffrey Simmons isn't there?
I don't know. I mean, I know guys want to work on their own, and I respect that. But at the end of the day, if we call ourselves a team, if we call ourselves a family, if we call ourselves one unit, then everybody needs to be there. It just doesn't make sense that everybody that's supposed to be there is there, but you're not. And I just think that, you know, the coaches may say the right quotes, but at the end of the day, some coaches are looking side-eyed and be like, man, okay, we need our leader here, but he's not here. So I just think that it just leaves a bad taste, not just in the coach's mouth, but also in the fans' mouth.
What do you think it means to Brian Callahan that Jeffrey Simmons isn't here? Because he's talking about how important the eight teams of competition is and how important accountability and leadership development is this offseason. And then Simmons is like, nah, I'm better off on my own. How do you think the coach feels about that?
But see, that's a scary statement, what you said. I'm better off on my own. So what happens when it's fourth down and you got to make a play? Are you going to be the only guy that makes a play? You've got 10 other guys that needs to play with you. So it's not just – listen, and I understand you do want to work out. I understand you want to work out. I know you have your own trainer. I know you have your nutritionist. All that stuff is fantastic. But when you have OTAs, it's only a week and a half or 2 weeks that you just have to be there. Now, when you show up, just maybe take one or two reps, do some walkthroughs, but at least talk and help your young guys, you know, adjust to the NFL, how to watch film, how to do these things. But if they're looking to a leader and you're not there, then you're basically, and I say this in a respectful way, you're not a leader.
Chris Sanders is our guest here on the program. Do you think there's any chance Simmons wants to get traded and that's why he's not here?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, and I'm not sure. I don't think that's the case because he says the right word. He's always in the community. He says he wants to retire as a Titan, but at the end of the day, your actions are not showing that. If you say, I love being a Titan, I love being in this community, I love being around my players, Is that just talk, or is it just football talk, or you really, really care? Because, you know, I'm not going back to 1999, but I am. You didn't have to ask the Eddie George. You didn't have to ask the Stephen Nair. You didn't ask to have a Javon Curse. We knew that it wasn't about us. It was about the team. Even if they were in Cancun, they schedule their trips around OTAs. Why? Because it's important that everybody's here.
Chris, what do you make of Cam Ward so far? You know, there's a big talk. A coach came out, said he shows up at 5 a.m. every day. He's here before the coaches. And Cam didn't really want to go into detail on that yesterday, but what do you make of it?
Man, I love this cat. I actually went to practice last week and watched him. They had a diversity coaching thing, and I just like, okay, I want to see. Here's two things that I saw about this kid. Number one, he's comfortable. I know they're not in pads, and I know they're in shorts, and everybody's running around free. But I just watched how he took command of the huddle. I watched how he made the right decision. I watched just how comfortable he was. I mean, he's chirping at the defense. I mean, he's winning some drills. I mean, he's making right decisions. So even though it's still early, I love what I see. And going back to what you were saying about, you know, guys meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning, because the reason why I think that's really, really good is because you get to teach these guys by watching the film. And then once they watch the film, they can implement it. They can implement it on the field. So you want to do that. I love what he's doing because you build camaraderie with these wide receivers.
So they asked Cam what time he goes to bed and what time he wakes up. And he said he doesn't want to share that information, which I'm totally cool with. But I do wonder this. Do you think that it's easier for him to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning? My guess is he's probably staying in a hotel right now, right by the facility.
Right.
And people probably think like, oh, yeah, you know, when you go to work, you wake up and you get dressed and you take a shower and you eat breakfast and then you get in the car and then you commute to work.
Right.
I don't think there's any of that. I think Cam probably is staying a block away from the facility. He wakes up, gets in the car, goes right over there, eats breakfast there, showers there, all that kind of stuff. But what time do you think Cam Ward is actually waking up if he's getting there at 5 o'clock in the morning?
I mean, maybe about 4:55.
Yeah.
but see, here's the thing, Jared.
I mean, that's still earlier than me.
Exactly. I mean, but here's the thing that I love about the whole situation. he doesn't have to, but he wants to. That's what makes it so special. He's not trying to show up for the coaches because they see him. They already know he's the number one draft pick. He's going to start. It's a want to. I want to give it with my wide receivers. I want to be the best. I want to make the right decisions. And with him getting up at 5 a.m. talking to his receivers, there was a lot. When I went to practice, there was not a lot of drop balls. He didn't make a lot of bad decisions. He looked comfortable in the pocket because he's studying it in the film. And I think that's the signs of a leader. I'm not crowning him already. It's the signs of a guy that can make some plays.
You know, Chris, there are a lot of guys battling at the receiver position. We know about Ridley and Lockett and DK and Io Manor that are going to make the team. And we've talked, you and I, about Restrepo, which, again, I still don't think he's going to make the team. But we've talked about a lot, him, Bryce Oliver, Mason Kinsey, James Prochet. You can go down the list. I ask this question, which is, at what point does Cam really need to kind of dial in with the specific guys that are going to be playing?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, you have a lot of guys like that. And I just think that, you know, the guys that are going to actually make the team, like Restrepo, he's going to have to play special teams. I mean, I went and watched all the receivers. There's a lot of receivers around there. But the thing about it is it's going to separate those guys if they can play multiple positions. I went and watched Jefferson. Jefferson was actually – he played like three or four – I mean, not three or four positions, three positions. That if he consistently does that, I think he's going to be okay. And you got Restrepo. I thought Prochet did a great job of running some routes. And then you had the younger rookies. They did an outstanding job. So it's going to come down to which guy can play multiple positions and which guys can do play special teams.
Doesn't sound like you're as optimistic Restrepo's making the team as you were a couple weeks ago.
Guarantee he's going to make the team. I bet you we made our bet off the air, but I think that he is he's going to make the team.
Did we make our bet off the air?
I think he is.
But did we make our bet off the air?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Did we make our bet off the air? I sounds like something I would have done, but I don't remember doing it.
Yes, we did. We made you don't want to put it out there. It's a lot of chingway that you want to put out there. But
I stand by it. I don't even know what it is.
Guarantee you.
I don't even know what it is, but bet accepted.
One and a zero, and it's got a couple of zeros after that.
I'll be looking forward to cashing Chris Sanders' check. It'll be like the first time you lost in the Boo-Ray game on the plane, Chris.
I don't want you to cash at me. I want it all in quarters and pennies.
No,
that's all I want, because I want you.
I don't even have to worry about getting it to you. Chris Sanders, as always, great stuff. We'll talk soon.
Man, I appreciate you, brother. Love you, man.
Yep, love you too. Chris Sanders joining us on the program, as always. I have no recollection of making a bet with Chris Sanders about Restrepo not making the team.
This sounds like a vacation text chain between the two of you. That's what this sounds like.
I will say this. I wasn't doing what Aaron Rodgers does when he goes to Costa Rica, but when I was in Costa Rica, things were very, very hazy. I'll just leave it at that. I guess I bet I don't even remember it. 615-737-1025. So we did talk about Cam Ward's 5 a.m. arrival to work. And I do have a thought on this that I want to get to next. And we will. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.